This is Cohen Meanderer, Jason Nevro, and when you ponder something and you go, ooh, this might be useful. I feel this need to record it, so here we are, recording yet again. You know what? Every parent can be accused of having done a bad job. And, guy, you know, it's sad to think that children will hang their hats on, well, I wasn't raised right. Bad parenting. And you're going, you know what? If you can make that statement, if you could consciously comprehend that things could be better, you can make them better. Childhood is not a blessed state of permanence. God doesn't want you to be a child forever. That's why he sent you to earth in the first place. Was so that you would not just be a child forever. He wants growth and progression. He wants you to become something greater. Now you don't have to. You know, everybody says, well, you have your agency. And you go, no, you really do have an ability to choose your future and what you want to be. If you want to remain somewhat childish forever, is the way open for doing that? Yes. I always, you know, people always ask questions, okay, if you had to do it over again, what would you do? And I find the answers that come from it very telling. Lisa tells the story of her dad. My wife, Lisa, tells the story of her dad. And I guess they were having a conversation. And in a candid moment, when presented with if you had to do it over again, what would you do? He said, I wouldn't. I don't know if it extended to getting married, but it seemed to say that he said that he wouldn't have children. And that's very telling. You know, what stage of life would you prefer to have? And if, like so many, we choose something from childhood. I'm sorry. Adolescence is not distinct. So I'm sorry. I don't think childhood is particularly distinct. It's a passing. It should be a passing. Stage is almost giving it more than it should have. It's a passing fancy. Something to which you should not desire a return, much less get or cultivate. Which told my kids, children are supposed to be learning how to become adults so that they can choose whatever they please. And I says, I want to be an adult because adults get to choose. Children do not. And to give children too much choice is to lock them into a state where they may never assume any responsibility for anything. They may not rise to stewardship, which is key to it's a key part of exaltation. Godhood is stewardship. You have things, you have people, spirits, souls under your tutelage, your place, your responsibility. And do those responsibilities ever particularly end? No, they don't. You know, will you always be the father of and mother of your children? Yes. Now, the relationship changes when they become adults, when they step forward. Hopefully they will. It used to be that this was just the way things were. And people would step up. They would take the responsibility. They knew that they would not be looked upon well at all, not respected, if they remain children for extended periods or for their entire lives. The span of childhood, we're not saying to shorten it to nothing. I'm not saying that at all. But it has a goal. And the reaching of that goal is vital. Absolutely vital. If you have any interest at all in becoming like God, God just takes into account that there are going to be worlds filled with children that had potential but chose not to act on it. As I've said many times before, and maybe not on these Cohen Meander recordings, my own personal take on the ultimate rewards that you can garner. There are three basic divisions, really having to do with your proximity to God himself. He doesn't keep people, he doesn't keep people near him that haven't merited that nearness. And I know that's like, but God loves all of us. You go, you put a lot. You think that love is something that God must show to you, and that there is a laundry list of beautiful things that you're going to have. That there are going to be some things that you get. And they are truly marvelous. Even if you do a bad job, even if you really kind of just ignore God altogether, there's wonderful things you will get, but proximity you will not get. Engaged with him in his work is reserved to those who take upon themselves covenants, responsibilities, and work those responsibilities. The ultimate one, of course, is becoming like him, being able to take intelligences, matter, pure spirit, not spirit, and it's not a soul. God, we have no word for it except intelligences. Take intelligences and give them further opportunity, give them further purpose. Anyway, we call it the lowest, and it's not. There's lower, but the reward you can have, the lowest, which is compared to the stars, and there's going to be so many people that ultimately make those things that there will be world upon world upon world where that are what we call telestial. And I have put a label on it, and this is extra scriptural, so don't get too upset that I'm creating my own religion. I hope I'm not. I hope I do this with the faculty to say I'm trying to make this more clear. The telestial reward is to have no consequences. Many people in this world want to do whatever they please, and the most important thing that they want is they don't want there to be consequences for their actions. And therefore, they tend to be a little bit slipshod about what they do and how they behave. And they expect everything just to kind of work out. It's not a terrible philosophy because to a large degree, because Heavenly Father has made good worlds for us to live on immortality, we get the impression that things will just work out. There's so many natural processes that are so much bigger than we are. Only under very, very bad circumstances, pollution, things like that, does the system, nature, almost. That's why it's called Mother Nature, is because you can almost personify it, because it seems to just kind of work in our favor unless we just walk away from it and destroy it and treat it with no respect. So this whole idea of having no consequences, that's the one of the rewards, basic rewards available to God's children, which all of us in mortality who are human have. And you can see it all day long. If like I said, in those unwatched, candid moments, when you can get a person to actually talk about how they really feel about things, it's interesting to find how many people that's their greatest desire. And God makes it possible for them to have it. Now, just having a life of having an eternity of no consequences, that's low. And God doesn't tolerate those sorts of people being proximate to him. It isn't that he gets rid of them and tells them, you know, destroys them. You can't destroy these things. Even God, with as far as we're aware of, all power and all knowledge and all these things, he cannot disincorporate us particularly. We continue to exist. It's just a question of where we will exist and what capacities we will have. And these people don't have very many capacities. But they're put in a place where there are no consequences. I used to think of it as like a forest where you could try to burn the forest down. And even if you succeeded in making it happen, the next morning, you would come back to the forest or something after a time. I don't know if there's really mornings anymore. But you'd come back and the forest would be right back where it was, as if you had done nothing. No consequences mean the things that you do have no consequence. They don't affect anything or anybody else. People who stand on that sort of I don't know if it's a mantra. I don't know what the right word to say for that, but that kind of say, oh well, you know, nothing that I do affects anybody else. That's no consequences, because you are a person of no consequence. And okay, so there's that one. The next general big place to be is the terrestrial kingdom. I really do think of this as the great socialist utopia. We're coming into it. So many people want this sort of a life where all the responsibility is kind of shared. And to the point to where nobody has to feel responsible. And that's what that one is. It's all about no responsibility. And just like the telestial people, call them tellies, just to keep it short, live lives of no consequence. It doesn't really affect anybody else. The terrestrial people really want a life of no responsibilities. They are people that don't take upon themselves responsibility. They want somebody else to be responsible. And socialism or communism or however you tend to view this, communism has to do with being in a commune, being in kind of a sequestered space where, you know, and by its nature, you can't do what you really want. You can't have freedom because freedom requires responsibility. Now, you can have some. There's no taking away from that. But people who really don't want to be responsible take on themselves nothing. You know, everything's shared. We share everything. And we don't have to feel like we are constrained. And those are those kind of people, the people who are irresponsible. They just won't do what needs to be done. There's that. And then, of course, the top one, and I have usually called that No Limits. And I don't really know if that's very adequate. The other two, I feel really good about those descriptions because not only does it describe the place that they're in and the distance that God requires them to be from him. It says, I don't go there. I don't know when it comes to the celestial, which is really God's work and those engaged in God's work and who are permitted proximity to God. These are people that are consequential, number one. Number two, they will be responsible. Is that not the very essence of stewardship? Is that you are given a responsibility and you rise to it. You rise to it. You don't sit and make excuses. So many people make excuses for so many things. Proximity to God. It used to be, you know, I used to think about this in kind of Downton Abbey terms. And I have found that, I don't know, I used to say, well, you know what, I don't know. I still see a few parallels, but I'm getting off the track. Getting back to childhood, becoming an adult and going beyond just adulthood to on toward greater things exaltation, stuff like that. It really has to do with doing well in stewardships. There's a phrase, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It comes from parables from Jesus, and this should be, in this realm of mortality, this should be the greatest thing for which you strive, is whatever hand you're dealt. And that is the real wonder of mortality, is it really isn't a question of so much where you were born and what you did. It is what you do with what you have. For all I know, it's predominantly relative. You know, if you're born in Africa and you have the troubles that Africans tend to have because of a lack of development, whatever. You are not forever barred from God's presence because you didn't do as well as, say, some Northern European sort stock. You can still rise to that level within the stewardships that are given to you. In any circumstance, in any way, you can prove yourself of consequence. You can take responsibility, not just for yourself, but also for others. Can't believe I had to slow down, and I'm having to slow down again. I don't like being too close to other vehicles on roads, which means that when I'm on an interstate highway, I'm just nuts because there's just too many people. When I have to go to someplace big like Albuquerque, or frankly, Amarillo's a little too big, it becomes the whole question of, I don't like being hemmed in. Well, the things that makes it so no, it doesn't matter. So when you come, you say, well, I came from bad parents, and then you start making excuses for the kind of life you had because of what you started out with. I've been to interesting places. I've spent a little time in Africa, although not particularly among Africans. But I've seen them in their living. And even in those circumstances, are there opportunities to become people of consequence? Yes. That what you do matters. Now, let me tell you, Earth life is fantastic because it will give you these opportunities, whether you really want them or not, to test these things. Will you be a person that really matters the lives of others? And the key way of doing this is to become a parent. The next step up, which is to be responsible. I don't know at what point that becomes stewardship. I think that is a celestial attribute. All these things build upon themselves, though. If you are a person that will choose to accept responsibility for yourself, I think that might be the biggest thing, is these two rewards, the telestial and the terrestrial, have to do with the individual, the person. That's why families don't exist in these places. People are singletons. They may have had families on Earth. They may have been parents on Earth. But if they spent the majority of their lives blaming other things for what goes on instead of taking personal responsibility for the things that they were about. Accepting responsibility, people that accept responsibility, then you aren't going to get to that higher thing, which is stewardship, which is not only am I responsible for myself, I am also, I also take responsibility or stewardship. I have a stewardship for others. And what good things this is supposed to achieve. You know, you don't just want to be a parent. That's just the act of bringing people into the world. Of course, most of us don't look at that as parenthood, and that's probably not a bad idea. We're constantly striving for making these people into something bigger, something more noble. Parenthood is not just bringing children, it's not just conceiving and birthing children, but it is raising children to bear their own responsibilities, to be responsible, and to take upon themselves larger responsibilities. Family life is a great responsibility and stewardship. And you know it's lifelong. You know it's going to be those things. So many people are eschewing this these days. Well, I'm not going to do this. You know, I might get married because I don't want people giving me garbage about having sex with somebody else. So when I get married, it all of a sudden makes having sex with them somehow pure. Only under the right circumstances. I'm sorry, gay marriage does not or should not impart such wonder. Should not do any of that. But that's just for here or there because it really is, you know, if it's just a marriage of two people who really enjoy pleasuring themselves on each other, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. If intimacy is just basically pair masturbation, how can that be ennobling? That's selfish. I'm not into celibacy at all, but it might be preferable to falling to mutual masturbation. Regardless, see, I don't know if I'm really going to put this one out. I might do it though, just to make that happen. Just because it might be something that's important to have out there, although I don't want to dwell on this at any level at all. Stewardship is really, really the top thing. To be able to be entrusted with things of value, with children, with the doing a lot of these recordings are me trying to be a decent father to my now adult children and to what they're doing. I'm heartened by my children who are following in the path that we took, that I was a good enough example that this was done. I'm saddened by those who choose not to for one reason or another. And that's sad. Anyway, having imperfect parents, and that's almost laughable. to say it that way. That's being really nice. Let's just call it having bad parents. Having bad parents is just as good as having really good parents. In fact, having bad parents will probably impel you to become a better person. If you come from really good parents, you think it's some kind of wonderful gift, and you might not put forth particular effort. And, you know, and there's just as many pitfalls to coming from what I, quote, call ensign families that are all perfect and everybody's wonderful and everybody's done exactly what they were supposed to do and that everything's great. It may not dredge up the kind of stridency that's needed. I've always found it interesting in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we have bishops, and I'm not going to get into all my personal hang-ups about whether they should be called bishops or why this would have to be done. It's not my place really to say at this point. Except to say that as a descendant of Aaron, it is interesting how the role of bishop has been altered to take on modern needs. It's not evil. It's not bad. It's like it doesn't give a person like me much to do, which is really kind of sad. You know, a strict code. We don't have strict code. I don't. I guess I shouldn't be too upset. I've never been big on strict codes, which is exactly what being an Aaronic priest is. It is following a strict procedure, a strict process, and doing everything exactly the way it should be done. For it to be acceptable to God, what you're doing. God sets down exactly the process, the procedure that you should follow. Oh, anyway, so these bishops now these days have a primary responsibility to youths and children. And I've found it interesting that many bishops, not all of them, it's not exclusive at all, but many bishops are either converts or people who have had dicey lives. They may have been away from the church for a while. They may have had really less than stellar backgrounds. If you used to be a biker, for instance, used to be a tough guy, if you've got tattoos and you join this church and you do a reasonable job, there's a better chance of you becoming a bishop than some person who just has been a good member of the church their whole lives. Much better chance of that being so, because it really has to do with being somebody that especially teenagers can relate to or feel like, oh wow, this is cool, this is good. You know, the for all practicalities, the teenage years are often when people wander off and feel their wild oats, and it's always useful. That's why I say it isn't a bad thing at all. But just know what it is, that these people can be of great influence to youths, because they can say, I've been where you are, I've taken some bad roads, and my advice to you is don't do it. Don't take those roads. You don't want to be a shoo-in for becoming a bishop, honestly, is probably what they will likely say you would do better if you hadn't followed my course. But the interesting thing is, those people, because they've seen the other side and going a different way and things like that, and consciously chosen, often a great personal sacrifice, loss of friends, companionship, or fun. Let me tell you, most sins are fun. They're thrilling. So you have had to have kind of gone over quite a hump to get from where they were to where they are now. And in doing that, they have gained a lot of insight into both sides and how difficult these things can be. So to a large extent, they're very useful people to have around. Especially for youth. This is the time when they start pulling away from their parents, asserting themselves, and a lot of people just decide that they're not going to have anything to do with the church. Now, it used to be they used to just fall away. The church roles are filled with the names of people who got baptized in the past, maybe even had a little bit of time in the church as youngsters or young people. And then once they grew up, they just wandered off. And in that, you know, it's all kinds of that. We used to not have a whole bunch of people that would go through the effort of taking their names off the records of the church. That desire has blossomed. I don't know how busy the office that is assigned handling these membership cancellations. I don't even want to contemplate how much that office has grown, how many clerks are required to process that amount of paperwork and to make sure that this has been done clearly, so that when people are giving up their possibilities, some very, very, in a very nasty way, and it's very sad to see. Anyway, so to have bad parents is not a bad is not the death knell that everybody thinks it is. In fact, it invites one to make a conscious choice, which is really what's needed if you're going to take upon yourself serious stewardship, is that you need to have made a conscious commitment to these things. And can I say I don't know if it's good to use the term easier for this. It's certainly more visible. I wouldn't say easy. It's much more conscious than if it's like, well, I grew up in the church. I did all these things. I did everything I was told to do. And you go, yeah. And you go, that actually smacks more of the terrestrial reward. That smacks of the world of no responsibilities. Like, for instance, smoking. I never smoked. I was taught as a child the word of wisdom, and therefore I didn't smoke cigarettes or I didn't smoke anything. I never did such things pass my lips. And some people kind of look at that with a kind of weird pride. And it's like, you know, okay, that's fine. Those who have smoked and then stopped, you can certainly look at them as people who have some fortitude for having overcome the habit, and that this is a strange mark of strength. I'm not doing it because, well, I think everybody should be should be encouraged to smoke, and then given the opportunity to stop smoking. You don't have to worry. It doesn't have to be about that. You don't have to encourage anything. People are going to fall into individual problems all the time. And fortitude can be built 1,000 different ways. And let me tell you, having a bad family life, a bad home life when you were a child, is another one of those things. I'm sorry, you know, people think it's just the biggest, most horrible thing, and it's like, no, I think it's right up there with smoking. It's right up there with masturbation. It's right up there with pornography. It's that kind of thing. You know, having had a bad childhood. And some, you know, and people always blame it on the parents, and it's like, you know what? I think that is a tough stretch. No, it's not a tough stretch. It is too easy, too simplistic. The universe of interpersonal relationships is way too complex to make such easy blanket statements, and I don't think much of psychology or therapy. It's practitioner nephew of psychology that really, you know, it's just to a large extent, I don't think much of it. And I'm sure they go, well, that's just because that you're not in it. They go, no, this is I don't think the use of the scientific method to really do these things. See, and this is funny because I'm actually trying to put together a bit of a curriculum that is supposed to lead toward exaltation on some level. Very, very interesting, strange thing. Mostly going through life, experiencing things, and then trying to stir up wisdom from it. Anyway, the whole thing that had come to mind is how having bad parenting, just like having kind of a rough youth, is a really excellent preparation for future LDS bishops. Having come from, quote, a bad family or having a bad childhood, is actually not an impediment. It impels, impeller. I'm not getting a right term here. But it's a circumstance that really gives you a more conscious opportunity to become better. Where if you would have come from a happy, wonderful family, you know, where everything was wonderful and your parents were just amazing and perfect and, oh my gosh, you know, did everything exactly right, which I don't even know if we even know how that's done. I think those people tend to struggle to find the strength to find that impelment to, they don't feel as impelled to better themselves. It's like, I'm fine, you know. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to take my parents' trust fund that they've set up for me because they were such, along with being wonderful people, they also were wonderful investors too. And, you know, and I get to take advantage of this. And, you know, and there's plenty of those people that just never grow up because they don't have to. Because all the things that other people are required to do just to get by, with so many things that demand you to overcome them, sometimes just to live, you don't have to worry about. You know, so I never had to worry about money. I always had a place to stay. Everything was taken care of. Heck, I had servants. I didn't even have to cook my own food or clean up after myself. I had people that would do that for me. And you go, wow. You go, yeah, do those people really become? They can. They could certainly go from where they are and do something amazing. Usually it's high profile, but that doesn't make any difference to God, particularly how big the profile is. It really has to do with, are you going to take responsibility? Are you going to go beyond that even to stewardship? You know, a lot of the parables of Jesus are about the Lord going off on a trip or something, not being present for one reason or another, never really explained. And it's fine because it's not germane. The fact is that the Lord says, like in the parable of talents, here's talents. Do something good with them. And then he goes off and he doesn't come back until sometime later. This is actually mortality, is when God leaves the scene. And then we don't see him again until it's judgment time, which is almost our entire mortality is typically. There's some people he visits. But anyway, it is really a question, especially in the parable of the talents. And I think a lot of these things, a lot of the parables have to do with the whole idea of stewardship. You know, the person with five talents who increased it, doubled it, and got 10, and it's wonderful. You should take great solace in that the one that got two talents and doubled his to four, he was blessed as well. You know, and in the same fashion, the same things were said of him. The same reward presents itself. So it isn't that people go, well, you know, I came from a beautiful place and a beautiful people, and and we were well healed. It's expected that you need to add to that. If you're a high profile person, you better add to it in a high profile way. If you choose not to, well, that's just kind of sad. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., I think, is a pretty good example of this. He took the privilege in the family that he came from, and he made larger things of it. And the fact that he may be a serious contender, perhaps, for the United States presidency, is good, because that's him taking what he had and adding to it. Can I be honest? If the person that had been given five had not increased it, or had not increased it or doubled it as much, had not made more of it, do you think the Lord, when coming back, would say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? You were made, you know, you're given responsibility over a few things, and now I will make you master over many things. I'm paraphrasing terribly. So I don't think much of bad childhoods, and I don't poo-poo them. I said, you know what? Everybody's got their crap. Everybody's got their junk. So the whole point is, given what you had, what are you doing with it? And you're going, it doesn't mean that you have to be this amazing, fantastic person. You know, if you have some aptitude in art, Did you take advantage of opportunities? Did you pick up pieces of charcoal by the side of the road and use it to sketch on sidewalks? You know, they said, I can't think of anybody who can't, in any circumstance, not rise. It's just there. If your parents were terrible and cruel and horrible, they have to answer for that. Now, can you, as their child, encourage them to better things? Yeah. As well, I don't expect a lot of that to be happening with young children. If it happens, wow, isn't that amazing? But if it doesn't happen, you can do it when you're an adult. Say, Mom, this is, you're a wreck. You were a wreck when I was a kid. You know, pull yourself together. You can be nicer about it. You know, you can be more encouraging, of course. And good things can happen that way. That's take upon your stewardship of being a better child of your parents. Not throwing all the blame on them. I don't even care if that is a current, exciting, psychological field, is blaming everything about yourself on your parents. It doesn't mean whether it's correct or incorrect. That's not the important part. The important part is, what does this impel you to do? Do you end up being a person that just doesn't want any consequences? They can do whatever they want, and somebody else will make sure it doesn't even have to be somebody else. It can be an agency, it can be an institution, whatever. You know, that they don't have to really live. Oh. Anyway, I've given this a whole hour. I think this is going to be a personal one just because of how choppy it is. Almost to my destination. Anyway, so this is something that I may need to develop a little bit more. I know I've tried to write down something on this, and it hasn't gone anywhere yet. Still in kind of the idea stage of things. Oh. Anyway. And I want to get this headset off my head, so I think I'm going to be done. I'm going to keep working on this one to say, don't get hung up on your parents. Don't get hung up on other outside forces. And you're saying, it's keeping me down. It's keeping me down. And I'm not saying that's not a conscious effort. You know, I get a lot of thrill out of crushing other people, you know, woo, and that was your parent. And you're going, wow, you were the subject of that. And you go, well, let us see. But that's neither here nor there. God avoids bad things. You can avoid bad things too. It's not like you have to sit there and take it. You know, the child that runs away from home at 16 because he just can't take it anymore, I don't have a big problem with that. I'm not the big proponent of, well, the police need to go pick that kid up and take him back to their family. You know, and I don't know where we take huge wrong turns. Child welfare is an interesting field that I was once an ally of, and now I'm not particularly. You know, if people want to use those kinds of services, fine. You know, I'm not trying to get rid of them, not trying to defund them, stuff like that. Pardon me. I'm going to go ahead and just stop it here. I said I was going to stop it, and I haven't done it yet. Take this thing off my head. So this is just going to be a regular old recording that goes up on the Gopher server. Talk to you later. Bye.